Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Deeper Daily Podcast. It's the 20th day of May. I'm your host, Paul White, and we do this every day, 7 days a week. I say welcome back to the DDP because I know because of the nature of the fact that we're here every day, and they're not very long, 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes. I think yesterday was a little longer than usual. Most people sort of pile them up, listen to 4, 5, 6 at a time, listen to a week's worth while you're driving, whatever. So you might have just stopped listening to yesterday's podcast and then popped in here today. However you do it, however you take these in, thankful that you do, and I appreciate you being with me. Today we're doing something that has sort of become classic me. I like to look at a parable particularly, tell you what I think, tell you what I see, but not stop there. Tell you some other things I think and some other things I can see, and tell you some other things other people might see and why those might be beneficial, why they might not, and then allow you, the listener, the student, the reader, the disciple of Christ, to do what you will with them because you are capable and you have the same Holy Spirit. I've said this before, I'll say it again. You have the same Holy Spirit in you that was in Jesus. I didn't say you are Jesus, but you don't have an inferior version of the Spirit. You don't have an inferior version of God. You have the same Holy Spirit. And while that doesn't mean you make perfect decisions or that you get everything right, it means you have access into the very heart of God. So if you listen, pay attention, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, you begin to see things in the Scripture. People ask me all the time, how do you see this? How do you bring this out? Well, part of it's the gift. I'm not going to lay claim to it. It's a gift of God. We all have them. Part of it is well-honed and is learning how to pay attention. So let's reread our parable. We're in Luke 13, verses 6 to 9, and I'm not going to rehash how I see it. I instead want to give you some other ways to think about it. He spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and he found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up or waste the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. Another way of looking at this parable is that this pits the owner of the vineyard a little bit at odds with the owner of the vineyard, a little at odds with the vine dresser. Not at odds, not as in they're fighting, but that they both have an agenda, that the owner of the vineyard goes, we're wasting space with this tree. Let's get rid of this. But the vine dresser says, I want to go to work on it. I want to do something with it. And a way of looking at this is that the father has a plan in the earth and that the vine dresser is part of the plan in the earth to go to work on whatever's inside the vineyard. And while I don't at all see God and Jesus as arguing and fighting because they're coming from different places, I can see the value in seeing that in this parable, you might see the husbandman or the owner doing something, and then you get a clear picture of the vine dresser inside the vineyard doing something else, not at odds, working together, but a work you hadn't seen before. And in that, Jesus seems to be doing a work we had not seen before. Let's just consider the story for what it is. You've got the vine dresser, the husband that says, look, I've been trying to get fruit off this for 3 years. And the vine dresser says, let's leave it alone. The wording there is really closer to let it be, kind of like the Beatles song, let it be. But let it be, this is what's another interesting aspect about this, is let it be comes from the Greek word aphes. Aphes is another word for forgive. So in effect, you have the vine dresser saying, forgive it, forbear it, allow it. That turns this into a grace parable. Just let it be for a while. Forgive it for a while. Overlook it. You could say this. The fig tree is kind of like the world. I mean, the world itself, all of us. We live, whether we know it or not, under a let it be, under a forgiveness. We think otherwise. We think we live by how good we are, or we live by merit, or we live by being rewarded for what we do. We think in our better times that salvation is some sort of cosmic approval. God saying, okay, way to go. Either we believed right, or we finally did right, or we did something sufficient to sustain us. But that's not the way it works. The cross tells us that Jesus becomes sin for us. He dies outside the camp for us, basically meaning he goes into the dumps for us. He becomes the dump for us. He becomes the fertilizer. And then he comes back to us, and on the cross, he basically says, Father, forgive them. Aphes, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He comes back and goes, let me work on them. Dad, let me do it. I see some obvious issues with pushing the parable to the place where the owner is God going, forget him. And the vine dresser is Jesus going, no, give me another chance. I see obvious problems with that. It pits Father against the Son, and that's not how I can see Jesus. Jesus is the express image of the Father. But the parable could be about the way we've seen God, about how we think he's one way, but he is the Son inside the garden. He's actually the vine dresser, that if the Father and the Son are one, then it's the Son going to work not to convince God of otherwise, but the Son going to work in the Father and the Father in the Son to bring forgiveness to all of the fruitless fig trees of the world, of which, as Paul would say, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Well, tomorrow we'll move on to the 10th verse, where we encounter a spirit of infirmity, and I'll see you then. God bless.